traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Cowboy hats and Western wear invade the Las Vegas Strip over the next 2 weeks, much to the surprise of traditional tourists. Even locals admit finding a ticket to the NFR is one of the toughest around. The PRCA says there's been a wait list since 1987. 10 sold-out nights starting Thursday. As of this afternoon, the most expensive ticket for Championship Saturday, almost $2,500 on StubHub. This is the view from that seat. Now, the Thomas & Mack Center is primarily the home for UNLV men's basketball. Legendary Runnin' Rebels coach Jerry Tarkanian used to constantly chew on a towel, becoming known as Tark the Shark. And the arena soon became known as the Shark Tank. So, what does it take to turn this basketball arena into the home of the world's richest rodeo? About over 2,000 tons of dirt. And when cowboys hit it, they're separated from concrete by 12 to 15 inches. This building has hosted the National Finals Rodeo since 1985, back when you could buy a Big Mac value meal at McDonald's for just $2.59. There were whispers coming out of the COVID pandemic that the NFR might leave Las Vegas. Those were put to bed just 6 months ago when a 12-year extension was signed. Listen to this. The new contract is worth over $250 million committed to contestants and stock contractors. This year alone, contestant prize money is over $12 million. It's why they call it the world's richest rodeo. In fact, if you win just one round, it pays well over $30,000. And the highly coveted world champion's gold buckle is made by Montana silversmiths in Columbus. According to the NFR experience, as of a few years ago, each buckle required 110 man hours to complete. They were valued at about $17,500 apiece and weigh about 1 pound. Ever wonder about back numbers on these contestants? Well, they actually have more meaning than you might think. Back numbers actually represent the total prize money won during rodeo's regular season. This year, tie-down roper Shad Mayfield wears number one. He leads the all-around standings with over $224,000. How about the youngest qualifier ever? This 10-year-old barrel racer named Ann Lewis back in 1968. Next youngest? Montana's own Rachel Millimacki at age 11. There you go, fun facts to impress your friends as the National Finals Rodeo fires up Thursday. Scott Breen, MTN Sports.
This is the big one. To the 3,000 professional members of the Rodeo Cowboys Association and the millions of rodeo fans around the world, this is the National Finals Rodeo.
The number one contender for the title, Casey Tibbs. Now's the time.
Keep your eye on this cowboy, Larry Mahan.
He already placed on this third. Let's say, keep out here. To the left now, to the right.
Here we go. This big bull jumps, kicks, turns back, ties right there. Damning Kent performance.
You stay there, Billy!
He made it work. Jim Holler's out. Here's a big chance for Trevor tonight.
A top round already. We've only seen two runs, nothing over 14. You gotta be kidding me!
When the 2023 National Finals Rodeo rolled around, the field was wide open in almost every event. But the bull riding seemed fairly settled. Stetson Wright, a seven-time world champion, ventured to Las Vegas with a $114,000 lead in the world standings and looked poised to secure his first Triple Crown. But his traveling partner, Kai Hamilton, was waiting in the wings. With more than $30,000 paid out to round winners, no lead was safe at the Thomas & Mack. Wright also entered the NFR as the leader in the all-around and saddle bronc riding standings.
This horse has got some power, Stetson Wright. I don't know which hamstring was a problem, and down he comes in 7.5 seconds.
His first go into the saddle bronc raised questions about his ability to compete.
I think Stetson can win the round if he rides this bull. Should go to the left into his hand. Whips him out of there right now.
Another buck off in the bull riding made it clear that a hamstring injury sustained at the Wilderness Circuit Finals could hinder Wright's chances of a storybook ending to a historic season.
Cowboy up. But if you're hurt, you got to stop and get well.
Hamilton showed that he meant business when the bull riding rolled around on night one.
Two guys that travel together and they come in number one and number two in the world. Here's the Aussie, Kai Hamilton. He's been so good.
Kai Hamilton rides excellent, as we've seen every time we see this guy. Big, long, tall, skinny boy, and he can ride. Yeah, baby. I love the way he just kind of floats his feet, looking good. That's Cowboy up, leaderboard, look out.
Australian sensation's 86.5-point ride on Theodore earned him the opening round win and set the stage for a stellar 10 days in Sin City. Wright tried to rebound in round two with a saddle bronc, but the injury was too much to overcome. As he limped out of the arena, it became evident that a triple crown wasn't in the cards. Superman turned out of the bull riding later in the night and received a doctor's release for the remaining 8 rounds. Wright's absence created an opening for Hamilton to chase gold buckle glory, and he kicked the door down.
He can make a big move tonight if he makes the whistle.
That's a long 8 seconds away. Here we go. Let's see it. Rick looks to the left, got against the chute, back around into his hand, got a seat, got down inside the hole. He's back up there.
Boy, okay. Then he hangs up.
You talk about hang and rattle with the longhorn cattle. Kai Hamilton just showed you, I'm going to stay on no matter what.
The Aussie chipped away with a third-place finish in round two and followed up with a second-place finish in round three.
So this Angel's Landing, he's been ridden for 93 points. Want to know who did that? Kai Hamilton in St. George, Utah. Let's see if he could again. Round the left, wave his hand. He's got a seat. He's getting some rhythm. He's got to pack it around the corner. Elbow down. He's got him right now. Show me the money, baby. Get on, no problem. Tip of the hat, you baby.
He is a bad cat right there.
Just a confident ride.
Hamilton trailed Wright by less than $30,000 when he hopped in the chute for round four. The four-time NFR qualifier stood 1 round win away from jumping into the driver's seat, but needed a big ride to upend the only qualified rider, 7-time world champ, Sage Kimsey.
You don't want to see a 7-time world champion get a big adrenaline boost right here in round number four.
Kind of like a shark circling the prey.
Yes, it is.
Here we go.
And let me tell you, Sage Kimsey's a great rider.
Right in the gate to the left. He's around the corner in good shape. This boy's riding really good. Yeah, hello, baby. We got a bull riding competition going on. Vegas, Nevada. That a boy, Kai Hamilton. Look at that bullfighter. Look at that. Holy cow.
All right, Kai Hamilton remains perfect. He's 4-for-4. Number one in the average. He's
going to win the round. Break 90? Are we going to break 90?
Not quite. Really close.
The trip earned Hamilton 89 points, a second-round win, more than $52,000, and the lead in the world standings with 6 rounds to go. Hamilton got off to a dream start, going 4-for-4 to open the NFR. And he looked unstoppable in the process. In round five, Sage Kimsey looked to close the gap on Polar Express.
Yeah, he was one of only 2 guys that made the whistle last night. Unfortunately, it was Kai Hamilton who's trying to catch that world championship race.
I think if things go as planned, he'll be at the top of the leaderboard in about 10 seconds from now. Here we go, round to the right into his hand. This bull bucks. No day off. I told you, every one of them bucks. He's at bearing down. You're not going to get him off there with anything less than a 30-30.
I'm telling you, this crowd is shaping up for Sage Kimsey to make a run at world championship number 8. Holy cow.
92-point ride shot the NFR legend to the top of a sparse leaderboard with the highest scored trip of the week. At the end of the round, Hamilton matched up with Honeycutt Rodeo's MAGA and the chance to extend his grip on the top spot. And no title chase is complete without adversity.
Kai Hamilton went over the $400,000 mark last night with the win and the ground money. Number one in the average, number one in the world. The Australian cowboy is having himself some kind of NFR.
They cut bull called MAGA. He likes the left. He fucked Kyle and Malala Orban. He wants him back. Said he nodded, but they didn't open the gate. But now he's ready again. There's a good start. Coming around left, got him loose with them. What a move. Look out. Boy, he knocked the dog shit out of him. Open the gate.
His gold buckle dreams hit rock bottom 4 seconds into the trip. You could hear a pin drop. Hamilton suffered a concussion and a broken rib. He was taken out of the Thomas & Mack on a stretcher and transported to University Medical Center Trauma Center in Las Vegas for evaluation and observation. He spent the night at the hospital and was initially ruled out of the round six morning performance of the Wednesday doubleheader. However, when the day sheets were published, Hamilton was slated as the 14th man out.
I gotta go win that gold buckle, man.
The Australian cowboyed up and made his return performance count.
Well, I can tell you, if this was a normal performance, this crowd would be on their feet right now. They watched Kai Hamilton knock out last night, taken out, spent the night in the hospital, comes right back this morning.
Kai Hamilton, he made his decision to come and get on. He thinks he can win. Sean, the bucking bull from Sankey, was one of the 22-point bulls last year around the corner to the left. He's got a good seat on him. Got to make a move there. Makes another great move right there.
One gutsy NFR performance right there.
I'm so proud and impressed.
The trip on Sankey's Bouchon garnered 85.5 points, good enough to give Hamilton a share of third place for the round. However, Sage Kemsey took another step forward with an 86.5 point ride on County Jail.
There he goes to the right, just like this is almost a day off. And, you know, and that's good because it's a morning performance.
The impressive trip gave Kemsey a share of the round win with Josh Frost and narrowed the Aussies' advantage. Hamilton didn't have long to recover after the ride, as a capacity crowd filled into the Thomas & Mack a few hours later for round seven. The world's best bull riders didn't have any luck against the Eliminator pin. Bulls bucked off all 13 cowboys before Hamilton readied himself for the final out of the night.
Last night got knocked out. It was dead sight.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, this is $100,000 right
here. Turn down, Todd Jackson.
With just under $100,000 on the line, Hamilton put on a show atop Devil's Advocate. The 88-point trip earned Hamilton a standing ovation, his third-round win a massive payday, and the respect of the world. Hamilton didn't clinch the world title with that ride, but he might as well have. The Australian sensation didn't record a score on his last three bulls, but his lead proved too much to overcome for the rest of the field. Hamilton clinched his first PRCA Bull Riding World Championship in round nine. Beaten, battered, and bruised, but not broken, Kai Hamilton earned his first gold buckle.
So we've got a great event coming up Saturday night to honor our local hometown heroes. And what I mean by that is very simple. This year we have a unique opportunity that we have 20% of all the tie-down ropers that will be competing at the National Finals Rodeo from San Angelo. Two of those gentlemen will actually leave from San Angelo on Sunday morning, named Ty Harris and Joel Braden Harris. A lot of people know him.
Is there anybody in this room that doesn't know Joel Braden? If you don't know him, I'll tell you a little about him. 21 years old, first time qualifying for the NFR this year, and he is a very, very proud son of the city of San Angelo. We're grateful to have him. Mr. Joel Braden Harris. And I guess we've got to introduce this last guy. It's kind of hard to introduce him in this town, but Mr. Ty Harris.
Oh, we're just everyone came out and decided to celebrate us for my first NFR, Ty's sixth NFR. I'm just excited to be here, be a part of this family, and that's what San Angelo really is. It's a family, and these people really make you feel like it.
I think both of us just trying to make sure that we are as prepared as we can be. You know, he grew up watching me rope his whole life, and I grew up watching him rope his whole life, and just kind of doing a little bit of tweaking, a little bit of fine-tuning coming into this NFR and try to both get as mentally and physically prepared as we can be to go out there and have some fun. From everybody, from just the fans to the family to the sponsors to everybody, the way that, I mean, look, we got a police escort and a send-off headed to Vegas, you know. Everybody's really, truly worried about our well-being. You know, they want us to be safe. I know we have a lot of prayer warriors for us for every time we go up and down the road from the summer rodeos to headed out to Vegas right now. And so it's just a special feeling. And obviously, I know they want us to do good, but no matter what, like he said, it's family. So it's pretty awesome.
It's something that's palpable in the community. It's something we should all be very proud of, having the ability to say, hey, those are our hometown boys. Every time they back in the box, it says San Angelo, Texas on them. And so we've got a sense of pride there that you know, other cities just don't have.
Pretty cool community to be a part of, for sure.
Welcome to Friday Selections for Oaklawn Park. It's December 6th, opening day for the 2024-25 racing season. Racing starts on Friday and runs through Saturday, May the 3rd, 2025, which is also Kentucky Derby Day. Featured race dates include the Smarty Jones on January 4th, the Southwest on January 25th, Rebel Day on February 22nd, the Arkansas Derby Day on March 29th, Apple Blossom on April 12th, and the Oaklawn Handicap on April 19th. The weather, 45 degrees, a little chilly in Hot Springs, Arkansas. A predominantly dry week heading into opening day should hold a fast dirt track. We got a 10 race card, 12:30 p.m. Central Time, first post. Lone stake race on the day is in the ninth, the Advent Stakes. Two-year-olds will go 5.5 furlongs on the dirt. Good luck on your wagers. Superfecta selections for all races coming right up. Let it rip, Oaklawn!
They wanna say my name, but they holding back. They wanna say they hate, but they know it's cap. I ain't play no games, I just do that's fact. And I don't feel no shame, it's a mood you lack. I go crazy, nah, but I ain't lazy. Track after track, I work on the shit daily. Pass me the jack, right as fuel, got me hazy. About to unpack all these things I've been chasing. I've got visions in my head, like memories after death. To be a legend instead of something you can forget. I'm living up every breath, I'd rather lead than be led. I'll fill the seeds as I spread with every word that I've said.
Welcome to another edition of Horse Center, everyone. I am Brian Zipsy, and as always, I have the great pleasure of being joined by my co-host to the East Coast. That's Matt Shipman. How are you today, Matt?
I am good, Brian. Looking forward to a rather excellent weekend of racing at Aqueduct, where the Cigar Mile drew an unexpectedly large quality field.
Yeah, well, they had 21 nominations, Matt. It was a great nomination list and got a lot of the big names. Let's look at that field right now. Big day at the Big A. This is Saturday, of course. The Cigar Mile drew a nice, as Matt mentioned, a nice field of 11. Matt, they're going one turn at Aqueduct. It's a one-turn mile, formerly the Naira Mile, but that was years ago. $500,000. Grade two these days, but maybe more fields like this, there'll be a grade one soon.
Yeah, I think that this field will get to the Cigar Mile deservedly back to the grade one status.
I like it. I like having a grade one late in the year in New York. Number one, Matt, is Bookham Dano. The Jersey-bred son of Buchero has never run a bad race. I actually think he's been a little unlucky in his last two. The Jerkins, he kind of got shuffled back pretty far off the pace, made a nice move, but could not stick late with domestic product. Last time he was really kind of jammed in between horses and the Perryville, had nowhere to go. Bookham Dano is a threat to win the Cigar Mile.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely has to be. As you mentioned, has never run a bad race, has never run against older also. So first time against older horses in the Cigar Mile, draws the one post. I'm not a big post position guy, but it might have been better for Bookham Dano outside. Sure, he's going to need a trip from the rail to have his best shot.
Yeah, Irad Ortiz is going to have to get that done with Bookham Dano. An interesting horse, though, because there's speed in here, and then there's real ralliers in here. And Bookham Dano might be somewhere in between, which could give him the first jump. Most of his races have been shorter than a mile, but he's run well at a mile. Last time in the Saudi Derby, he ran very well at a mile. So he can handle this one-turn mile for sure. An interesting three-year-old. Number two is Nelson Avenue. Nelson Avenue was claimed several starts ago, and he's moved forward for trainer Wayne Potts, Matt. Last time, a good second in the Grade 3 49er.
Yeah, horses do have a tendency to move off the claim for Wayne Potts. With the winter meeting at Aqueduct is kind of Potts's big money-making time. Yeah, Nelson Avenue, claimed for 40, back at Saratoga, second in that 49er, but I still think he's really up against it here.
Yeah, it's a tough spot for a horse moving forward. The gelding will have Dylan Davis, though, in the saddle. Number three, Matt, is Repo Rocks. And Repo Rocks, we've seen, if you're looking just at buyer speed figures, and that's not what I do, But if you look at just buyer speed figures, Repo Rocks has a few speed figures, maybe not so recently, but that would suggest he has a chance in here. What do you think?
Yeah, he certainly has races in the past that give him a chance. I get the feeling with Repo Rocks that we're looking at a horse whose best performances that we're mentioning here may be in the past. His last stakes win was in May of 2023 in the Westchester, going the one turn mile. His last win was at Colonial Downs in a race that was restricted to Virginia breds.
Yeah, Repo Rocks has also been beaten by Coastal Mission, who's in the race, in his last two starts. The four horse is Vinsanity, and I really don't have a lot to say about this horse, Matt. I think he's a huge long shot here. He won two starts back at Aqueduct, but not against this class.
No, a legitimate long shot. That last win was in a $25,000 claimer with the non-winners of two lifetime condition.
Him winning would be a little bit of insanity, if you ask me, Matt, in the Cigar Mile. Number five, though, is a horse that I think there's three horses, Matt, here who will vie for favoritism in the Cigar Mile. The first one we're going to talk about is Mulliken. Mulliken has been terrific sprinting this year, 4 of 5. His only loss came last time in the Breeders' Cup, where Rodolphe Brissette said that he may have not liked some kickback that he got at some point in the race. He seemed farther back than we thought he'd be. Came running down the lane to be third in the Breeders' Cup sprint.
Yeah, so overall that was a good effort. He was sent off as the 3-1 favorite in that Breeders' Cup sprint. I think he was one of my top choices in that Breeders' Cup race. Before that, 4 wins in a row, he won the Grade 1 Forgo. He won the Grade 2 Nehrud on the Naira circuit. This is his first try going a mile, however.
Yeah, first try going a mile, and Brissette has said he didn't want to do the two-turn mile. Otherwise, he very well could have run him in the Breeders' Cup dirt mile. But he says a one-turn mile should be just fine for Mulliken. That Nehrud that you mentioned came at Aqueduct Fast Time, where he beat Coastal Mission. Flavien Prat, no jockey, has won more big races this year than Flavien Prat. Prat will be aboard Mulliken on Saturday. Law Professor, another horse who, there's a lot of good races in there. Kind of a hard-hitting horse for several years now, and he's coming off a win after a layoff.
Yeah, hard-hitting horse. He's coming off, Brian, 3 allowance wins in his last 4 starts. Emphasis on allowance, and now he finds himself in this stacked field.
Yeah, plenty of graded stakes experience. He's got some speed to him. A horse you can't completely throw out, but in this field, maybe not for us. Let's take a look at that time form U.S. pace projector, Matt, because we mentioned some of these horses already who may be involved in the pace. They say fast pace, and they say Nelson Avenue, the improving gelding, who almost or tried to wire the 49er last time, will be on the lead. Repo Rocks up there. We haven't talked yet about Pipeline, who's got plenty of speed. Mulliken, not far off the lead. Bookham Dano, probably not too far off, but more mid-pack. Law Professor, a little farther back. That fast pace at a one-turn mile, that's kind of a fun scenario for me as a handicapper, because I like to see horses coming from off the pace, or at least to have a chance to come off the pace. Looks like we'll get it here.
Yeah, it does look like we'll get it, and thus far at the Aqueduct Winter Meeting, for the most part, the track has been playing fairly. So yeah, with a pace like this, it gives the closers a legitimate chance to win.
Fairly, nice. I mentioned before there were three horses that I thought would vie for favoritism. It would not surprise me if any of the three were favored on Saturday. I mentioned Mulliken. The next one is Locked. Locked, you see there in the mid-pack of this Cigar Mile. Locked, you can't really say much about Locked other than he is a very interesting horse. Unfortunately, Matt, this year has been mostly lost for the Son of Gunrunner. Scratched a couple times early in the year. very good two-year-old, though, and a very good return race last month, or yeah. I guess a little over a month ago at Aqueduct.
Yeah, a horse that has shown a lot of promise, a relatively lightly raced horse in this field of veterans, came back with a seven-length victory in an allowance at Aqueduct against older horses as a two-year-old. He was third in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile after winning the Grade 1 Breeders' Futurity, making him one of four Grade 1 winners in this race, trained by Todd Pletcher, who has won the Cigar Mile. Let me count them, Brian. I think six times prior with names like Mind Control and Stay Thirsty.
Yeah, yeah. Pletcher's had a good run in this race, and Locked may very well have a good run. Maybe a little bit like Book'em Dano, where he can be kind of in the mid-pack early. Big-looking return race. The margin of victory, the way he did it, the time of that seven-furlong allowance race, all says Locked has come back good after a sizable, almost a year layoff since finishing rallying for third in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile last year. Locked could be a horse we're really talking about in 2025, and it could start here in the Cigar Mile. Having said that, he's going to get bet, and it will be certainly his toughest race this year. I guess you could throw the Breeders' Cup Juvenile in there last year, but it's a big jump up in class for Locked. Another horse like Book'em Dano's never run a bad race. Pipeline is next, Matt, and Pipeline has speed. As you saw on the Timeform U.S. Pace Projector, he's one of the ones that could make this a fast pace, and he's coming off a good-looking win last time in Churchill, which I guess was about 2.5 months ago.
Yeah, kind of not a really planned layoff for Pipeline. That was a really nice allowance win at Churchill Downs in a top level allowance, a non-winners of three condition in there. Trainer Cherie DeVoe had planned for Pipeline to run in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, but then had to scratch.
That's right. She was trying to get him in off that win at Churchill. Didn't happen. On the other hand, Pipeline has had lots of greater stakes experience, Matt, and I've just never seen him get it done to make me really want to jump on his bandwagon here. But that allowance win last time is enough to at least make you think about him. I was in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile before in his career. That was one of the many races, greatest stakes races, where he just didn't do that much. Speed for sure. Maybe the speed of the speed. We'll see. Pipeline coming from the outside there. If there is some rallying going on in the Breeders' in the Cigar Mile on Saturday, Matt, one of the likely candidates would be Senor Buscador. I saw signs of life from Senor Buscador last time in the Breeders' Cup Classic. He made a pretty big move mid-race, and then he flattened out. And I've always thought that Senor Buscador was better going shorter than a mile and a quarter that he got in the last two Breeders' Cup Classics. A one-turn mile is quite a bit shorter. But if there's speed to set the table, he's working well out in New Mexico with his trainer Todd Fincher there. Maybe Senor Buscador, who came from the clouds last year in this race to get up for second, is a threat in here.
Yeah, came from the clouds and probably will be doing so again. I've mentioned that the Aqueduct track has been playing fairly, but yeah, it's kind of tough on horses that get too far behind. But that's what Senor Buscador does. I mean, he's got $12.9 million in earnings, Brian, which ranks him 10th all time.
Wow.
Money earners for horses that have run in North America. Yeah, he got a bunch of that racing in the Middle East, in the Saudi Cup and the Dubai World Cup last year.
Yeah, well, that's Saudi money where he won the Saudi Cup. That's a whole lot of money. And Senor Buscador, but it shows he can win a race like this. I think he'll be let go at decent odds, frankly, Matt. I'm looking at him as the fifth choice in here. if there's a fast pace. I always thought he's a horse. Yeah, he comes from way out of it, but I always thought he was a horse who could do well running shorter and just picking up the pieces because he's got a fast turn of foot. Next to him is Coastal Mission. We should talk about Coastal Mission, Matt. If Senor Buscador is like the fifth choice, Coastal Mission's like the sixth choice. And this is a horse who's won more than half his lifetime starts. Jeff Runco, a lot of them came in West Virginia. But I think Coastal Mission is proving this year that he can handle graded stakes competition away from West Virginia.
Yeah, absolutely. Last two races, he's got two wins. He won the 49er that we mentioned earlier in the rundown. Before that, he won the Parks Dirt Mile. That's a one-turn mile, and then also a two-turn mile. I like that versatility. We've got Coastal Mission at 8-1 on our morning line. The official track morning line had Coastal Mission at 12-1.
Yeah, Coastal Mission, sixth choice. Hard to say too much negative about him, except for maybe if this is a truly grade one race. He's never won a grade one before. He was fifth last year. I think he's even better going into this edition of the Scar Mile. He likes a mile. He'll be one of those horses like Locked, like Bookham Dano, who can be kind of mid-pack. And you said versatile. He's a horse who could get first jump. Horse will probably be a little farther back, would be Post Time. Here's the other of the three that I think would vie for favoritism. He could be the favorite as well. Husband-wife team, Brittany and Sheldon Russell, bring this Maryland-based, Maryland-bred Son of Frosted here. I gave props to Locked and Bookham Dano for never having run a bad race. Post Time's never run a bad race in 14 lifetime races.
Yeah, that's for sure, Brian, with lots and lots of victories in various kind of races. I think maybe, like we've mentioned with a couple of other horses, and it's hard to say because he has been so good in so many races, but maybe right now he's in the best form of his career with a close second in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile most recently. Before that, a runaway win in a stakes at his home track at Laurel Park. Trainer Brittany Russell, that you mentioned, has a lot of success shipping horses up to Aqueduct, does it frequently, and winning all kinds of races, allowances, stakes races, and going back in the summer. Post Time was third in the Whitney and was second in the grade one turn Met Mile.
Yeah. National Treasure got him pretty good that day, but this is a different kind of race setup. Post Time, like you say, is going good at the second in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. Very good. In fact, that second in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile could possibly make him the favorite here. I really don't know who will be the chosen one of those three. But Post Time, certainly a big chance, a mile, one turn, that's right up his alley. He's a late season four-year-old who, yeah, I think he's kind of right in the prime of his career right now. Love to see Post Time in here and then come back in the Pegasus next month at Gulfstream Park. Certainly a big shot. All right, that is the big one. That's the Cigar Mile, which is race nine. A couple races earlier, we got the Remsen. Matt, do you remember what happened in last year's Remsen? I know you do.
Oh, absolutely, Brian. The Remsen had what turned out to be a fantastic field, a field chock full of what turned out to be grade one winners. When we're talking about Dornach, we're talking about Sierra Leone, the Breeders' Cup Classic winner. Dornach won the Belmont Stakes and the Haskell, and Domestic Product also became a grade one winner. So, does that answer your question?
Yeah, well, you did it really well. And there were other stakes winners in that field. I would have been happy with just Dornach and Sierra Leone battling down the stretch, and then they become the Belmont Haskell and the Breeders' Cup Classic winner. Yeah, the last year's Remsen, well, let's just say there's a lot to live up to for this year's field. And maybe not quite the powerful field that we saw last year, but there are some very interesting horses in here. Starting with the one, we made him a favorite here on our Horse Center morning line. Tux, not Tux. This is a horse I heard about before he started. Bill Mott does not usually bring his horses geared up for their career debuts, especially in a sprint. But Tux was close to the pace, and he powered home late in that maiden race at Aqueduct.
Yeah, and certainly that's the thing that I pick out the most from this, is that it's was a Bill Mott debut winner. It was a Bill Mott debut winner that went off at 7-2. This is a homebred son of Tappet, and Tappets are not always at their best at such early points in their careers as two-year-old, but this horse, I guess, must have been kicking down the barn, because he was ready to roll and was an impressive winner.
Yeah, he's out of a very nice mare, too. Fancy Dress Parties, her name. She was a nice one-turn daughter of Munnings. So it's an interesting kind of pairing there with Tappet and Fancy Dress Party. Fancy Dress Party looks like produced a really nice horse for this LNJ Foxwoods homebred. Tux, a nice winner last time. I think he's going to get bet even more this time as he stretches out from 6.5 all the way to 9. I can't throw out the 2. I don't know what to do with the 2, Matt. Aviator Guy, a son of Uncle Mo out of a Tappet mare, really well-bred. This is a Three Chimneys homebred, and this one's trained by Chad Brown. It's won at Aqueduct on the dirt in a race that was taken off the turf. Last time he was on the turf and ran a decent enough race in the Awad.
Yeah, so it kind of makes me think that two tries to enter and run the horse on the turf, that that Chad has really been thinking about the grass with this one, and I guess is taking a shot to see if he's up to it on the main track.
Yeah, sorry, I had the Remsen up, or the Cigar Mile field up there. Here's the Remsen field. Aviator Guy, his two races on the dirt are promising enough to give hope, and he looks like a horse who probably could handle the 9 furlongs of the Remsen. The turf race wasn't spectacular, but it was good. He'll need to move forward, but an interesting horse. Chad Browns are always dangerous. Chad Brown wants to run a lot of his horses on the turf, and maybe he has a dirt horse here. I'm not sure. Anyway, horse you can't throw out. Number 3 is Poster. Speaking of turf horses, Matt, because Poster, that's all he's done is turf.
Yeah, maybe they've got a dirt horse here too. Owen Hardy sends this one up from Kentucky, where this Godolphin homebred won a maiden race going a mile at Ellis Park, and then won a large field allowance race, beating winners for the first time at Keeneland. So, I mean, he has just looked very good thus far on the turf. We'll see on the dirt.
Yeah, Godolphin, there's no hotter stable in America, at least, than Godolphin. They have been winning two-year-old races in bunches this year, graded stakes two-year-old races. This is another Godolphin homebred, this one, as you mentioned, for Owen Hardy. Turf, first two starts, Kentucky, both really good, both impressive, both look like a nice horse. Bred for dirt. He's a son of Munnings out of a Tappet mare. Maybe there's a little bit of turf there, but it's certainly more dirt than turf. Workouts are all on Turfway Park's synthetic surface where Hardy is based. So you just don't know about the dirt. I mean, I see a series of workouts on a synthetic track. Two races on the turf are very good. Gets Flavian Prat up. Dangerous horse for sure, but you really don't know about Poster. Number 4 is another interesting horse, Matt. Studley Do-Right. Studley Do-Right, one of my favorite names of this year. He's a stakes winner a couple times removed in New York. He's done it at Saratoga. He's done it at Aqueduct. We've seen him in a bunch of stakes races in the last 5 months or so. And I think he's a horse, son of Nyquist, out of a Curlin mare, who I always thought would appreciate 9 furlongs. He finally gets 9 furlongs after 6 starts.
Yeah, it's an interesting horse, a horse with tons of experience these days in the ranks of two-year-old racing, has run six times, won his first two starts, breaking his maiden at Laurel at his home park, and as you mentioned, up to Saratoga during the Belmont at Saratoga meeting to win the Tremont, a second in the graded Sanford at Saratoga, a second in the Laurel Futurity, and most recent back to Aqueduct, maybe with their eyes on this Remsen, where he went the one turn mile and won the Nashua. So I don't know, Brian, this field could easily be a field where these 2 year olds are going a mile and an eighth, and Studley Do-Right is the only one running with any energy at the end.
Yeah, that could be. And he's bred to go longer, and the Nashua was impressive. I thought, three horses ran very well in the Nashua. Nashua doesn't always, get the best horses before the Remsen. But I thought that Nashua was a good field. He beat Vekoma Rides, Tony Eclipse. He was best coming between horses and finishing best in that Nashua. Nice win over the track. He can stay a little closer if he needs to, but he also has a good closing kick. I don't think this John Robb horse coming from Maryland, even though he's won two stakes in New York, is going to get heavily bet in here. I think they're going to go for some more flashy looking, more lightly raced horses. So Studley Do-Right interests me quite a bit in here. Certainly one of the horses to beat in the field, and probably will vie for favoritism with Tux is Key Waden. Matt, Key Waden is a horse we saw in a key maiden race at Saratoga. He didn't win that day, but he just missed, and since has come back with a nice win at Aqueduct.
Yeah, and you mentioned that key race in which he finished third, but was only beaten by a head. He finished behind Tip Top Thomas, who came back to finish second in the Champagne Stakes. So that was a good loss in there. That maiden win that you mentioned came going seven furlongs, trained by Chad Brown, the second Chad Brown in here. Yeah, and I agree with you, Brian. I think that Tux and Key Waden are probably the horses that are going to vie for favoritism.
Yeah, Key Waden, he finished ahead of Sovereignty in that key maiden race too, and we know that Sovereignty is a really promising two-year-old, graded stakes winner as well. Key Waden's done nothing wrong in his two starts. Interesting to see a son of Instagram, a very fast son of Into Mischief. This is his first crop. And Chad Brown has this one. He's going to get bet, and he might be on the lead. And according to Timeform U.S. Pace Projector, Matt, Key Waden will be on the lead in a race without a ton of speed. It didn't give us that button where it says favors horses on the lead, but the fact that the two favorites are separated in first and second and separated from the rest makes me think that it could set up pretty well for Key Waden. Key Waden on the lead is the Timeform U.S. Pace Projection. And let's get back to the field, Matt. Number six, Surfside Moon. I think we have a couple of long shots on the outside here. Surfside Moon is a son of Malibu Moon for James Lawrence. James Lawrence has had some nice horses over the years, but not enough in his first couple stakes races to pick him out as one of the horses to beat in here.
Yeah, he got his maiden win in his third try. It was actually on the turf, and then he went ahead and ran in a couple of races that we have already mentioned for some of the other horses in this field when he was fifth in the Laurel Futurity and sixth in the Awad.
Yeah, coming from turf last time in the Awad, and yeah, didn't run terribly in either, but wasn't a big threat in either as well. Probably an even bigger long shot on Saturday will be the son of Tom's Detat, Gun Trader. Gun Trader took six races to break his maiden at Delaware or Parks. He finally broke it at Parks last time. Pretty slow, mile 70-yard maiden race where he was suddenly favored. won it pretty easily. But let's start talking about that maiden race at Parks versus the Remsen Stakes.
Yeah, for trainer Uriah St. Louis. I think he owns and trains this horse. Certainly a trainer that's not afraid to ship up to Aqueduct to take a shot with long shots, an $8,000 purchase, a son of Tom's Detat, a horse that I liked, a horse that won a lot of big races. But this is a really tough spot and a legitimate long shot.
A legitimate long shot. We've seen Uriah St. Louis pull off some big upsets in New York before, but not on this one so much. And with that, Matt, let's get to our top picks in these two big races. There's also female races, graded stakes for females on Saturday at Aqueduct. So don't miss that card early on throughout the card. You got the Gopher Wand, you got the Demoiselle. But let's get to our top picks. Cigar Mile first. You are first, my friend.
Yeah, Cigar Mile, a lot of win contenders in here. A lot of horses that do their best running coming from off the pace, and I am going to favor them in that this race with the pace projection that we have discussed. I'm going to take a shot from the far outside with Post Time. I think that's a great place to be in the early going in this race. He'll be able to sit out there and see what's going on with the speed. Should get a nice, clean, clear trip. As I mentioned, I think he's in the best form of his career.
Yeah, and Post Time would have been kind of the horse that I leaned to as well. But then I looked at the odds, and I think there'll be a disparity between Post Time and my top pick, Senor Buscador. I just think Senor Buscador is going to have some good odds in the Cigar Mile, and I think he is going to come running. He did well in this race last year. I like the move he made, on the turn and into the early stretch in the Breeders' Cup Classic. So I think he's back, and their speed, like you said. If you tell me Senor Buscador is, 7-8-1 in the Cigar Mile, I want to take a shot on that. Post Time, Bookham Dano, I easily could have picked as well. Mulliken's got a big shot as well, as good as he's been. Locked is certainly a horse to fear. Going for some odds, Senor Buscador in the Cigar Mile, coming from probably last early. In the Remsen, we're on different horses as well, Matt.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Chad Brown with Key Waden in here. I like the fact that victory came going 7 furlongs. And hey, Chad put a pretty nice horse in Sierra Leone in the Remsen Stakes last year. Key Waden for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Key Waden has a big, big shot in here, especially if he can control the pace. He's run two nice races already for Chad Brown. Who knows how good Tux is. Tux is a horse that I think probably has a very big future as well. But I'm going for odds again, and Studley Do-Right. I think he's a horse who will appreciate the 9 furlongs. He's a horse who's run a lot of good races. He's a horse who can finish off races. And once again, I think the Maryland horse, he's going to get a little bit overlooked in here. So I'm going to try Studley Do-Right as my top pick in the Remsen. That's it, Matt. Can I get a parting shot from you?
Absolutely. Thanks to everybody for watching the show. I will be at Chili Aqueduct on Saturday for the big day of racing. I hope some of you Horse Center folks are there, and we'll say hello if we run into each other. And good luck, everybody.
Yes, and we hope you had a great Thanksgiving. We appreciate watching every week, folks. Thanks also, of course, to Candace Curtis in the home office for our race graphics. Derby Wars, our sponsor for the best. They're the best contest site out there, Matt. No doubt about it. Timeform US for their pace projections. We all also like to thank them. If you haven't yet turned on your notifications, subscribe to our YouTube channel here at Horse Racing Nation. Give us a thumbs up, Matt, and I appreciate it. Give us a comment. We appreciate that as well. Until then, we'll see you. Have a good weekend. Good luck at Aqueduct. You too, Matt. We'll see you next week right here on Horse Center.